Welcome to the Dream Huge Podcast, where we'll talk with real estate investors, entrepreneurs, business leaders, athletes, and more to inspire you with their success stories so you can work hard, never give up, and dream huge. And now, let's start the show.
Yo, what is up, everybody? Welcome to the Dream Huge Podcast. How are we doing today? Oh, man, we love to share success stories from huge dreamers, folks in the real estate business, entrepreneurs, movers, shakers, influencers, and more. And hopefully these interviews and stories will help to motivate you listeners and viewers to dream huge. So today's show is hosted by the one and only JP for three, John Pavlansky. What is up, JP?
What is going on, my man, Pete, man? I'm excited to talk. We're talking some real estate today, man. Definitely excited to talk with our guests. Doing great. How are you doing, brother?
Excellent, man. Excellent. Yeah, super excited for this one. JP for three, selling over 13.2 million in deals and sales last year, helping out over 100 families last year. So thank you, JP, doing amazing things in real estate as well. John Pavlansky, thank you for being on the show today as well. And Biggie, the three-time champ, Justin Bigelow. What's going on, my man, Biggie?
I'm just here to learn some more.
That's it, man. That's what's so great about these podcasts, just the ability to network and learn from experts in the field. And there ain't many better than this one right here. So let me get right into it. We have our special guest, Austin Rutherford. He currently has a $23 million, probably plus that at this point, investment property portfolio at the young age of
30.
Wow.
Woo! Love it, baby. 30 years old, $23 million plus rental portfolio. And he's going to be helping others, and he is helping others do the same by using, get ready for it, OPM, other people's money. And that is how you really can level up quickly. So he also has mentorships available. And I'm going to give you a quick summary of my man, Austin Rutherford, and then we're going to dive into it. So it took him about 20 years to save up and buy his first rental property. But then he realized he's going to have to change his vision in order to accelerate faster than that. He invested in a coaching program at 21, flipped his first house at 22 after raising $247,000 from private money lenders. That's right, wow. Folks. He raised $247,000 to fund that deal. And he netted. He walked away with $107,000 from that first deal. And probably, I'm assuming the light bulb went off at that point. He quickly reinvested all that money back into the business and has flipped and wholesaled hundreds of houses and owns 50 plus units, as we had just mentioned, totaling over $23 million in value. And today he's still growing and investing in real estate, and his company, Elevate Life, teaches other aspiring entrepreneurs how to invest in all aspects of real estate. And on top of all that, has 336,000 viewers as of this video. 336,000 followers, I should say, on Instagram. So my man, Austin Rutherford, thank you for taking the time today. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what it is that you do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm excited to be here. Appreciate the amazing intro. I gotta update some of it. Own 130 units now.
Gotcha.
And, it's been an amazing journey. You know, goal at the beginning of my career was to be an NBA basketball player. Sounds like me and JP have something in common. And that didn't work out. You know, fell out of love with the game of real estate, fell in love with the idea of passive residual income. That's what led me to the idea of owning rental properties, real estate. Bought my first rental and then got hooked on the hamster wheel of life, chasing money, flipped and wholesaled a ton of houses, and then had a light bulb moment go off about 3 years ago. That I was on a hamster wheel, and then made a pivot from flipping to wholesaling to buying rental properties. And then that's the goal now. Continue to build the rental portfolio, grow the passive residual income, and you know, help as many people along the way as well.
Fantastic. Austin, you have a quote on one of your websites. It says, and see if you can fill in the blank, see if you know your own content here. It's not the money I'm after, it's the
freedom.
Yes, that's it. That's it, boys and girls, listeners, viewers. It's the passive income. That's why we all invest in real estate. There is no set dollar amount. It's the ability to do whatever you want to do with your life. And that's an amazing feeling. So I think, Austin, are you there at 30? What's your day-to-day look like?
I mean, I'm still young. I'm still very hungry, very motivated. You know, we have my portfolio is probably leveraged 65-ish percent, blended, maybe 60%. So, I mean, the cash flow is there. I mean, we're making money. I have other businesses that are, you know, putting nice chunks of change in the pocket. But to this day, I still wake up like I'm broke every day. So, I mean, I want to be flying the PJs. I want to be on the yachts. I want to have the house on the water. So I feel like I still got a long, long, long way to go. But it's extremely rewarding. It's been a very fun ride. And I do have, you know, a lot of the things that I only dreamed of at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. What is your, let's get right into the investing, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
What's your specific formula for when you, and there's another video I'm going to reference. You had four tips. So maybe we'll just jump right into that. Four tips, how to buy using none of your own money.
Yep.
And this is huge. And this is what, because this is where most folks are. Very few folks can go and take 20% and go buy an investment property with 20% of their own money. Okay. That's a very small percentage. But that's why this is so intriguing. So you had four tips. Number one is that you're buying 100% funded by OPM. So elaborate on that for us a little bit.
Yeah. So number one, it comes down to finding the right deals. You know, good deals will always find the money. So our strategy is, you know, I'm sure a lot of people have heard of it. It's the Burr method. We buy it with OPM. We renovate it with OPM. We rent it out to a tenant, and then we take it to a bank and refinance it, pull the money back out, pay off the debt, and then own the assets and longevity. You know, the goal with that, we'll buy a simple math. We'll buy it for 100. We put 50 into it. So we'll borrow $150,000 to fund the deal. And then let's say it's worth 200 grand once it's stabilized, then a bank will give us a 75% cash out. So the bank will give us back the 150, but we are going to have to pay some interest to our lenders and some closing costs and appraisal fees. So let's say that's another 10 grand. So we're into it for, let's say, 160. The bank gives us back 150. So the option is to either sell it or refinance it and keep 10 grand of our money into the deal and then own this asset. Now, ideally, we buy it for 90 and put 50 into it. We're in for 140 plus 10, 150, and then the bank gives us back 150. So it's truly no money out of pocket to own this asset. So, you know, that I bought a lot of deals that way, and I bought a lot of deals where I had to keep, you know, $1,000, $3,000, $5,000, $7,000 of my money into it as well. But that's essentially the deal. You know, we're trying to buy it 70, 75 cents on the dollar all in, and then create our equity, sweat equity, so we don't have to put up our money on these deals.
Okay, great info there. Great illustration with the numbers. But here's the two things that are holding me up. Where do you find the deals, and where do you find the money?
No, great question. So there's a how I find deals now is different than how I did it in the past. So I'll take it back like 4 or 5 years. We had a whole, you essentially can say it's a wholesale operation. We spent, you know, $20,000-ish a month in marketing. We had cold callers, we had text blasting, we ran Google AdWords, we did driving for dollars, and we found deals ourselves direct to the seller. So we were reaching out to sellers, asking them directly if they wanted to sell, and we were negotiating directly with the sellers. Those are going to be the best discounted deals that you can find, because there's nobody in the middle making any money. That's how I bought the majority of my portfolio. More recently, as I've kind of blown up on social media, my deal flow essentially comes from social media now. So people send me deals, new people investing, people that are coming into Columbus, Ohio, realtors, brokers, people that just know my name from being out there for so long, they're sending me deals. And then, you know, we'll buy from a wholesaler, we'll pay an assignment fee, we'll buy from a broker, we'll pay their commission. So we're not necessarily getting like the home run, you know, 50% equity deals. You know, we're typically 70-75% into these deals now. So that's where the deal flow is coming from. And then where the money's coming from, we can dive as far down this rabbit hole as we want to go. But essentially, every single person I meet, I'm trying to get them to lend me money. Every person. Because I understand that somebody when I first started in real estate, I felt like I was asking somebody to invest in me, asking someone to believe in me, asking someone to have faith in me. And it's not an ask. You're giving somebody an opportunity to invest with you, right? And yes, it's mutually beneficial, obviously. But when you understand the power of private money and you see it as an opportunity of a lifetime for somebody, why would you not share that opportunity with every single person that you come across? Mm-hmm. So I talk to literally everybody I meet, and you know, it's a numbers game. I talk to 1,000 people and 2 or 3 of them end up lending me money, just like everything in life.
Yeah. Yeah. There's two things on that, a boatload of information right there. There's two things on that that I want to touch on. And first, I want to get back to the other people's money and kind of what that conversation looks like for you and them. But social media, you said now it's almost gotten easy because now you've just got deals coming to you. And I tell people the same thing, especially getting into real estate. I'm not even 2 years in the business as a real estate agent. And as Pete said, I sold $13 million last year. There's no, a lot of that is because of that social media. So talk about that for a second. How important has the social media been in terms of your growth and kind of really sending off with in that kind of that rocket ship after you kind of took off on social media?
It's exponential. If people really look at it backwards, the question I always get is like, what's the highest ROI? What's the thing that you can do to make the most money? And throughout your journey, it changes. At the beginning, it's knocking on doors. Then it's raising money. Then it's building a team. You know, it grows and changes over time. But if people really, 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 really dial into it, the single-handedly most valuable thing that anybody can do is build a personal brand. It'll have the highest ROI imaginable than anything else because it's one to many. It's not one to one. When it's one to one, it's only so scalable. But when I can make a post and touch 100 people, 1,000 people, 100,000 people in one post, it's insane the ROI that I can have. So it absolutely has changed my life tenfold.
I love it. I love it. Pete, how familiar did that just sound, man? I tell people all the time, I say there's no sense in cold calling your contacts A to Z. And this is from a realtor standpoint, but no sense in cold calling your contacts A to Z. There's no sense in doing the door knocking and those things if you can really build that personal brand and touch thousands at once. That's awesome. That's awesome. Back to that OPM, what do those conversations sound like if you're talking to somebody who's possibly going to lend money or you're trying to explain to them the benefits on their end as well of lending money? What's that conversation sound like for you?
Yeah, no, great question. So it can go a million different ways. Let's assume I'm talking to sometimes people will just message me like, hey, I want to lend money. And like, that's a very different conversation because they're already like ready to go, right? Let's say every day I'm just out and about, you know, my everyday life, you know, small conversation, because again, it can go a million different ways. But I talk to everybody. Like I'm walking on the street, I say, hey, good morning, how are you? I'm in the elevator. I'm like, hey, how's your day? So I literally talk to everybody. That's number one. Like there's not a soul that comes near me that doesn't get a hello from me. So that initiates the conversation. And the majority of times is, hey, bye, and you move on. Sometimes you're in an elevator, you talk, you happen to get off on the same floor, you continue talking, and then, you know, you realize that they're on vacation in Fort Lauderdale. You're like, oh, that's awesome. Like, what brought you down here, right? My goal with talking to people about raising money is to extract as much information as possible. I don't pitch them anything. I don't sell them anything. I don't tell them how great I am. I extract. So it's like, why are you on vacation? Oh, well, you know, my wife and I are, you know, just down here on vacation. Oh, great. You come here often? Yeah, you know, we come here every year. Oh, that's amazing. What do you do that allows you to do that? Well, actually, you know, I just retired. You know, my wife retired last year. You know, this is our, like, we're actually coming down for the entire winter instead of a month. We're coming here for 6 months and we're really looking forward to it. And that's incredible. Like, what did you do to be able to set yourself up like that? Well, you know, I worked at this job, blah, blah, blah. You know, now I retired and I moved down here. Oh, that's amazing. Like, what? I'm sure you had some sort of like retirement accounts and everything. You know, where's your money invested at? You know, you're obviously successful to be able to live here for 6 months. What do you do with it? Well, you know, I got a stock market. It's with, you know, this guy. He manages the money. I got some money else over here as well. Okay, cool, cool. You know, how'd things go, you know, a couple years ago when the market tanked? Well, you know, that wasn't really that good. You know, I'm still trying to recoup that investment. You know, it's up and down sometimes. Okay, well, you know, what if there's a way, you know, you could actually get consistent monthly income from that investment instead of having to ride that roller coaster? Is that something you'd be interested in? And I'm steering them to where I want them to go, right? And it can go to another example. I was on a train in Europe talking to a family, and I'm like, hey, why are you here? I was on my honeymoon. Why are you guys here? Well, you know, we're here. We come every year. I was like, oh, that's amazing. And it led to, well, what do you do? And they said they're like a manufacturing company or something. They asked me what I do. I say, yeah, great question. I'm a real estate developer and I teach other people how to invest their money into real estate. Man, real estate. the best investment we ever made was we bought our building. I said, that's incredible. Like, real estate's amazing, isn't it? They're like, yeah, and we just sold it a year ago. And our biggest problem now is we don't know what to do with all the money. Boom. There's your end, right? So it's just, it's extracting the information to get people to talk to see how you can add value to them.
Yeah, just helping others. It all goes back to helping others. Stop selling and start helping. Have you heard that one?
100%.
That's an old Zig Ziglar. Stop selling and start helping. You're just helping folks out. So how does that look from a like a legal standpoint? And what is it like? What type of structure do you use?
Yeah, so there's two ways. One's to start a fund and one's to borrow deal by deal. So I don't have a fund, which means I can't go out into public and post on Instagram and say, hey, I'm raising $1 million, paying 10%. Let me know if you're interested. That's an offering, which means you have to be registered with the SEC. You have to have a fund. It might cost you $10,000 or $20,000 to get registered. So there's people that do that, and 100% you can go that way. What I do is I just borrow money on a deal by deal basis. So I have to have a pre-existing relationship with somebody. So that's why when I first meet someone, I'm not saying, hey, lend me 12%. Like, that's not the hook, because I can't do that. It's building a relationship with them, pulling the information from them. And then once they express any interest whatsoever, I don't go in and pitch them. I don't say, great, I got this opportunity, I'll pay you 12%. Are you in? That's not how the conversation goes. It says, amazing. Like, you know, I could, what if there was a way that I could give you that, you know, passive income where you didn't have to ride the roller coaster of the stock market? You know, that'd be something you're interested in. Yeah, it is. Great. Let me get your contact information. I want to send you a credibility packet that can explain a little bit more about what I do and how we raise money to fund our deals. Then I would love to have a follow-up conversation with you thereafter. And then I send that information, I build the relationship, and then we have a follow-up meeting, and then we dive deeper into the context of what private money is and the ROIs and the returns and everything else. So at that point, then I can raise money from them to fund a deal, and then they get a promissory note and a mortgage on the property when they lend the money.
What is a good return, a good enough return to offer to garner an investor's attention?
That's another thing I've learned along the way. In the past, I was like, as soon as I got someone interested, I'm like 12%, 12%. And it would immediately turn people off because people thought it was too good to be true. Making 12% ROI is extremely difficult to do with a safer investment, right? So I stopped doing that. I cut it out. So during my conversations, I'm asking them, where's your money invested? What type of return are you seeing? What do you like about it? What do you not like about it? So I already know that information, and I don't offer them a number. I say, hey, you know, knowing that you don't want the fluctuation or the volatility, you want a consistent ROI. You say you're making about 6-7% now. What would it need to be to make sense to you to have a consistent cash flow? And they may say 6 or 7%, or they may say 8 or 10 or 12. So I let them tell me. And then to answer your question directly, I typically pay anywhere from 8 to 12%. If they're anywhere in that ballpark, I'll roll with it. If they're higher, you know, I'll say, hey, you know, unfortunately, that makes a lot of deals not make sense. I'd love to get your money invested, but I can't because it doesn't financially make sense. If you're flexible at all, we'd love to work with you. But I get them to tell me what they want.
I love it. So do you typically pay out monthly or yearly? And then do you use the IRR rate of return where you actually, if you calculate that in, when you actually sell the asset, you're getting that monthly return, which is that 8 to 12, and then you can actually 15 to 20% on the internal rate of return once factoring in the whole project. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, great question. So the way that I raise money, private money lenders don't have equity within the deals. So there's no equity, it's just interest. And then I would keep the equity. So our goal is to get private money lenders paid off in whole as quickly as possible. So that's usually through a refinance or liquidation process. And then we pay them off. We pay them all their principal and all their interest at that time. And then we just move their money onto the next deal. So you can raise money and offer equity within deals 100%. Usually it's for like bigger, you know, multifamily or commercial or something like that. But I haven't done it thus far. I'm sure at some point I will. But right now it's just an interest rate.
It seems cleaner, more simple method. And like you said, if they're happy, if it's better than what they're currently getting, then they're happy to sign up.
For sure. I mean, the other variable too, like usually the model that you just talked about is usually a syndication model. And with that, there's not a promissory note and there's not a mortgage. They're investing into an entity. They're investing into an LLC. So if the deal goes belly up, they can lose their entire investment. They have no recourse because they don't have a promissory note and they don't have a mortgage. Yes, there's more upside, but there's also more downside. When they invest with me, they get a personal guarantee and a business guarantee. So even if the company goes bankrupt, I'm still on the hook personally. And they have a mortgage on the asset. So if I do default, they can foreclose and recoup their investment on the asset. But so essentially, arguably, there's less downside. Now, things can always go wrong, but there's way less downside. But, you know, there's not as high as an upside, but it's consistent cash flow.
And that's an answer to when I was trying to structure something like this. You know, I had a few folks that said, well, we want ownership in the deal. You know, and well, that's the answer to that. Well, like, yeah, we can go that route. I can give you ownership, but there's more risk with that.
100%.
Yeah. If we go this route, there's a mortgage and promissory note in place. So there's a lot less risk here.
And when I talk to people, everybody wants equity. Like that's what every investor, everybody's like, what about the equity? I'm like, hey, you know, great question. Unfortunately, you know, that's just not how we structure our deals. You know, if you want to go to somebody that's, you know, newer and willing to give out equity, like you might be able to get some more upside 100%, but you're also going to have more downside risk because they haven't been through the trenches. You know, I'm 9 years deep now or whatever your credibility is. You know, you're investing with somebody that you're actually going to get paid. The ROI doesn't make sense until it actually hits your bank account. So if you want that and you have recourse and we invest on that 75 cents on the dollar, and you have a note and you have a mortgage and you have, you know, I have a $5 million life insurance policy. I have all these things. If you want to make sure that you get paid, I'm your guy. If you want to maximize your ROI, I'm not your guy. You got to go find somebody. You got to go put the work in to be able to do that.
Austin, how do you go about placing an offer on something where you just have the you don't have the funds? You have the investors, but you don't have, you know, the funds in hand. You don't have a pre-approval. They've given you a verbal commit. So how do you get around that when placing offers on properties?
So I've only been asked for a proof of funds less than 5 times in my career, probably. Wow. So it's very rare. When I do, usually now I can provide it myself. If not, I'll just message a couple of my buddies and just say, hey, can you send me a screenshot of your bank account? And then they'll send it. But again, if you're direct to seller or direct to wholesaler, it's very rare to ask for proof of funds unless you're dealing with large multifamilies. And the only time I've been asked is for larger deals. Gotcha. So I don't really think it's that big of a concern, but to continue your question, I've very often put deals in contract where I had no idea where I was going to raise the money from. Because money always finds a good deal. Worst case scenario, I call somebody that wants equity. And I give them 50% equity and problem solved. I'll get the money the next day. You know, I always know I can raise the money. I just want to raise it on my terms and not everybody else's terms. So, you know, I wrote a $2.1 million offer last week. No clue how to get the money. And I had $200K non-refundable in the first 24 hours. And like, I know I can get it because I've been able to build those relationships. It's called dig your well before you're thirsty. I talk to everybody about money all the time. So when I do need it, I know I can get it somewhere.
Yeah, man.
Love it.
So what's the average deal size? What are you targeting?
Yeah, I mean, the super basic, we're buying a single family house for 100-ish grand, give or take $20,000 or $30,000. We're putting 40-ish grand, give or take $10,000 or $20,000. And then they're worth 200-ish grand on the back end. So we're all in for $130,000 to $150,000. And the assets are worth $180,000 to $220,000.
Love it. Nice and simple. Press repeat. And there's more of those out there. You know, everybody wants to do the big, huge multifamily deal. Those are few and far between. You know, it's easier to dive in on the single families, which are plentiful. I mean, you still have to find the deals within that. Mm-hmm. But there's a little more to go around on that. So love it.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of opportunity. I mean, one thing I do wish I would have gone bigger sooner, because the same process is just more zeros, which means raising more money and more profit and more cash flow and everything. You know, I I would say I was fearful because I didn't understand it. And the more I've gotten into it and done bigger deals, it's like, man, I wish I would have done this sooner. So, definitely don't be deterred. Like anybody listening to this, like, and worst case scenario, again, partner with somebody. You get in over your head and it's a deal. Pick up the phone and call somebody, you know, that does that. It, like I've been brought into other people's deals now because they couldn't raise the money. They couldn't sign on the debt. They couldn't manage the construction, whatever it is, because like they know I can get it done. So if they have a smoking deal, worse, they try to raise it. They try to do the deal themselves. If they can't, they pick up the phone and you call a partner, somebody that you know can get it done, and bring them in on the equity side. Now you have the credibility to do a deal, then you can go do it yourself the next time. So like worst case scenario, you just give a little bit more of the deal up to somebody else to get the credibility and the experience.
Love it.
Like if I got a 150 unit complex across my desk right now, I already know who I'd call. I can't sign on a $40 million loan. I can't. Right. But I know who to call and I'm going to give them equity in the deal because I want to learn how to do it. And now I'm on the deal. So then the next one I get, I can do it myself.
Outstanding, baby.
So that's, you just filled us with, I mean, listeners, guys, if you're listening in right now, that is a wealth of knowledge right there that we just got on real estate. How to raise money, what to do when you have the money, and how to put the deals in contract. That's awesome. Thank you a ton.
And we just got three more steps. That's just step one. No, hang on. And not to mention Austin Rutherford's mentorship program. So what does your mentorship program look like? What does it cost? And how can folks sign up for that?
Yeah, I mean, super high level. You know, we teach you how to find deals, raise money, flip houses if you want, and or own them as rental properties long term. So we teach that. You know, you get documents, videos, trainings, live trainings, everything you need to be successful. It's a $6,000 investment, it's lifetime access. And we help people, you know, start doing real estate and or get consistent in doing real estate.
Yeah. And that $6,000 would be probably the best money and best investment you ever made. And you're probably going to make that back on your first deal rather than give $6,000 to some university that's going to teach you something out of some textbook that happened 100 years ago.
Don't get me started on college.
dude. Or even high school for that matter. Yeah. All right. So let's get back to the list real quick. Step two is all rehab funds. You're getting all the rehab funds as well in your pocket from day one. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So it goes back to how you raise money, right? You know, most people think the best people to raise money from are, you know, the multimillionaires, the guys with the Ferraris and the Rolls Royces. The problem is they know the game. So they're going to want equity. They're going to escrow the rehab funds and they're going to want to get paid monthly. Like they get it, right? So what I found is the best way to raise money is from people that don't really understand money. It's people that have worked for the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years and have saved $100,000, $500,000, $1 million, and they don't really know what to do with it. You know, you can give them an opportunity for consistent cash flow. They don't know anything else. And I'm not saying borrow wrong. That's not what I'm saying at all. Like buy good deals, invest in good assets, and use the money for the right things. So when I raise money, I get, if it's 100K purchase, 50K rehab, I'm raising 150,000 and it's all getting funded on the purchase. So at closing, seller gets 100, you know, there's $2,000 in closing costs. And then I get $48,000 wired to my account that I'm going to then use to fund the rehab of the property. So, you know, in the past, maybe two or three times, you know, an investor has been an educated investor and has wanted those funds to be escrowed with the title company for me to draw out as the property goes on. So what that conversation has looked like, one, I try not to do it by any cost. But if I have to, let's say I need to escrow 50, I'm going to tell them like, hey, can I get a $10,000 draw so I can start and then I can draw out the rest thereafter? Because I don't want to use my money. And if I can get 10K up front, then I can draw the next four 10K at a time and I'm good to go. And again, if you're buying a good enough deal, the selling point for that is hey, let me get the 10K because you're still only 69 cents on the dollar. You know, if you're buying the right assets, the risk is heavily reduced to give you a little bit more money up front. Because worst case scenario, you disappear, they still have plenty of equity and plenty of margin in the deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So even though those investors may be a little less savvy than the guy with the Ferrari, you're still offering them a better return than what they're currently getting. And you're offering them protection and security as well.
Yeah, I might butcher these numbers a little bit, but somebody that I raised money from invested into an annuity. They were paying on it for like 8 years or 9 years or something. And they had the option to either get paid. It was like, I'm going to butcher the numbers, but it was like $1,500 a month off of that until they die. And then when they die, the money disappears. So, you know, 300K, 1500 a month, that's 3 times 6 is 18,000 a year on 300K. That's like 6% return. And remember, when they die, the money's gone. And they were telling me about, I didn't understand annuities at the time. And they were telling me, or, you know, I could cash out today and take the 350 today and have the 350. I was like, all right, well, if you take the 350 and I can pay 10%, so I can pay 35,000 a year instead of 18,000 a year. So I can double their return. And when they die, they're able to give their kids $350,000 instead of zero. I was like, yeah, cash out your annuity. Like, problem solved. So it's like, as you learn more things, you can teach people how to get more. Like, I've gotten the phone calls from people crying, thanking me for allowing them to have more cash flow in their retirement. You know, my parents, they're like, thank you. You know, their money was in stocks. Now it's private money and they lend to real estate investors. They're getting a more, way better ROI. They're making way more money and they have a better retirement. Like that when you, and this isn't for everybody, right? The mega millionaires that already understand money and move money and make 30% on their, like, it's not for them, right? But it's for some people. And those are the people that you got to go out and talk to and find and help.
So step three, and again, these are four tips on how to buy using none of your own money. I'm a man, Austin Rutherford. You can find him on Instagram at Austin Rutherford Official on Instagram.
Yep.
336,000 followers, folks. Step three is 12-month promissory note and mortgage, which we touched on that.
Yep.
That is in place. That offers them security. And step four is no monthly payments. I think we touched on that a little bit too, but elaborate on that a little bit, why you set it up like that.
Yes, it's the cash flow thing. You know, if you have 10 deals and you're paying $2,000 a month in interest, and you're paying $20,000 a month in interest payments, it can tight rope a business. And if the business get tight roped, and you know, that makes me make bad financial decisions, that can turn a deal negative and also hurt the lender, right? So when people ask me about that, rarely anybody even asks about it because I'm teaching people how to lend. So they don't even know that that's an option. But when they do ask, it's like, hey, like, can I get monthly interest payments? It's like, yeah, absolutely. I can give you monthly interest payments. And I explain the cash flow thing that I just said. And I'm like, you know, for that additional risk that I have to take on, you know, I can pay you 7% interest, or I can pay monthly, or I can pay you 11% interest if you let the money accrue until the payoff of the loan. So either way you're getting paid, you're just making substantially more money if you're willing to wait a little bit with me. And I've never had anybody choose to take the monthly payments.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's a lot simpler in that. You get a bigger chunk there at the end.
And to me, it's the same either way. Again, it's just the cash flow. Like, I don't want to run into a bad time where I'm footing out, you know, tens of thousands of dollars a month in interest payments when I can just let it accrue and pay the same amount I was going to pay later on anyways.
My man, Austin Rutherford, with the awesome information for those real estate investors out there who are dropping out of college and canceling their annuities as we speak. Love it, man. All right. So, hey, Austin, we're right up against it, buddy. I know you're a super busy guy. We had a lot more planned, but we're going to have to circle back for round two, man, because this has been so amazing. But do you want to leave us with any final thoughts, or JP or Justin, do you guys have any final thoughts?
I do 100%. I want to ask you a quick question because, and it's one that we were going to get into, and hopefully we don't dive too deep into a rabbit hole here, but really, like, we've heard how you're doing it now, where that kind of came from. And then we heard that you used to be a hooper. Well, used to be, I don't want to say that too loosely. You might still get out there and hoop. Who knows? But tell us a little bit, man. We know you're a Columbus, Ohio native too. So tell us a little bit of what that journey actually looked like for you. I know we touched on it here and there, but like, give us a timeline on how that journey looked and to where you are right now, man.
Yeah, no, I'll bullet point it. So bought my first house at 20 years old, had 30 grand saved. So I bought it traditionally, put a 20% down payment, bought a duplex. Thought I was balling, and then realized I was broke and I had to make money faster to continue to buy rental properties. So got licensed as a realtor because my realtor made like $7,000 in commission or something. I was like, let me get my license. That sounds good. got licensed, sold two houses, probably made like 10 grand in commissions. And I was like, I hate this. Like, I don't like driving around everywhere. And then I heard a radio ad. It was like, you know, learn how to get rich flipping houses. So went to the seminar, maxed out my credit cards, paid $25,000 to hire them as a coach, as a mentor. From that day to the day I made money was a 16-month journey. I was valeting cars 50 to 60 hours a week. I was going to college taking 15 credit hours, and I was making offers every single day on real estate. 16 months during that time, literally 16 months to the day, I sold my first flip, netted $107,000 in profit, reinvested literally every single penny back into the business. I didn't go to dinner. I didn't buy a pair of sneakers. I didn't go on a vacation. I didn't travel. Every penny went back. I went back to work and I went back to college, flipped my second house about 3 months later, made 40. So I had 150K in profit, dropped out of college, dropped out of high school, went all in on real estate for the next 4 years. Just flipped and wholesaled everything, hundreds and hundreds of houses. About 3 years ago, I got a wake up call that I was on the hamster wheel, and I realized that I was chasing money instead of building wealth. Pivoted the business from 90% flips and wholesales and 10% rentals to 90% rentals and 10% flips and wholesales. So made a huge pivot. And for the last 3 years, I've been building my rental portfolio, probably bought 100, 120 houses during that time, and just continuing to grow the portfolio. So, and bought my first commercial deal last year, and trying to do more of that.
Hell yeah. Love to hear it. Love to see it. Killing it. And you know what I loved about that whole thing? The part when you said, I went all in on real estate.
Yep.
That's what it takes, guys. You have to be all in with this game. Be obsessed about it. Learn every angle on it and pivot. And you like just like how Austin pivoted. He started here, pivoted here, pivoted here, pivoted here. It's never ending. And you always be learning and always be pivoting and helping people out. Great story, Austin.
So I just listened the whole time. I build up my takeaways. The personal brand thing. You know, everyone talks about build your personal brand, your brand. What the hell is that? It's your reputation.
100%.
You don't do it on social media. Social media is a medium to channel that reputation. You do it with people personally. You got to meet people. Getting money with no pre-approvals or proof of funds. Reputation.
100%.
Well, I trust you. They trust you. The no, like, trust factor. That's it. I don't need a paper. Like, this dude's good for it. Well, you do that through being with people, having interactions with them, meetings. Social media allows you to just hit more people on exponential level, like you said. So when you're building a personal brand, you just got to go out there and just do it. Meet more people and then maybe leverage some things like social media. It's like, it's not social media. It's just being with people, having conversations. In the elevator, just like you said. So don't get all caught up into the personal brands like social media, because it isn't. It's literally just being with people, whatever that is. And then also, I forgot the last point, but it has something to do with what you just said, with raising money and everything else. But you just got to go do it. Oh, it was the last part. We flipped it from 90 to 10. Once you realize, like, you're like 80% maxed out, like I'm like a master at this. Flip it like you just did and take your 10-20% that you were kind of working on and flip it to 90. And so then go all in on that 20% or that 10%, because then you start scaling and growing from there. So I really loved that you're living it, because I'm in that point where I'm flipping right now. So going all in.
Thank you, Biggie.
Agreed.
Austin,
yeah. Last nugget. Real estate, the cool thing about it is it's not an if game, it's a win game. So anybody that's looking to get started in any aspect of real estate, it's already been proven time and time and time and time and time again. So it's never like if I fail, if this doesn't work, if I lose money. It's not if, it's when. It's when is this going to happen? Because I promise you, you'll be successful. It took me 16 months to finally get my break, and it took off from there. So don't play the if game, play the win game.
Just got to keep hitting it. Keep hitting the nail.
Advice from Austin Rutherford online on Instagram. On Instagram at Austin Rutherford Official. Online at www.theaustinrutherford.com. Check him out. He is awesome.
man, we're going to have him back for some more content.
Yeah.
And awesome stuff, Austin. Thank you for your time today. Thank you, Biggie. Thank you, JP.
Thank you
for joining me in studio. Love it. And thank you for everybody watching and listening. And please like, subscribe, and share. And as always, remember the rules. We're going to take you out with this. Work hard, never give up, and dream huge. Let's see the guns, Austin.
I see you've been working on them too.
Yeah, baby. All right. Thank you, Austin. Have a great day, buddy.
Absolutely. Likewise.
Thank you for listening to the Dream Huge podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. For more inspiring content, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Dream Huge Realty and on TikTok at Dream Huge Inc. Until next time.